text appears. In June 1968, Elvis Presley began rehearsals for his first live performance in over 7 years. He hadn't recorded a top 10 hit in 5 years. His career as an entertainer was in jeopardy. A seated man's leather pants-clad knee jiggles. From the rear, the leather-clad man faces a dressing table mirror surrounded by lights.
Everything for his future depended on this special.
A script's title reads Elvis, starring Elvis Presley.
Elvis was at the low point of his career doing movies. He didn't want it too.
Headshots of Elvis flash by.
He hadn't been on the stage in 7 years.
You know what we're here for, right? The Elvis Presley special.
A crowd waits.
The 68 comeback special would let him know if there was still an audience for him as a performer.
Elvis's friend, Jerry Schilling. A script is dated June 27th.
If Elvis did not give the greatest performance of his career, it was the end.
When Elvis first came on the scene, it was a revelation.
In archival footage, young women scream. Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Robbie Robertson.
The way he looked in the early days, it was as cool as it possibly gets.
In black and white archival footage, Elvis performs a signature dance move across the stage.
But it evolved to a thing in the 60s. He was doing music that wasn't as great as the music he did in the very beginning. He was doing movies that nobody believed in.
I'll buy you the biggest steak you ever had.
He was walking a fine line between I'm the real thing or I've lost it.
A show rundown lists a medley of Elvis hits.
We're now going to see whether he's really back or not. We're going to see really what he's made of.
Words on a clapperboard read, Show Elvis. Boz Luhrmann, director, Elvis 2022.
Just before they come on stage, Elvis calls the director into the dressing room and said, I can't go out there. I can't do it. And the audience were coming in.
A man stands at a microphone.
Glenn.
He nods.
Go. Okay, now y'all know what we're here for, right?
And the director says, look, Elvis, you've got to go out there. I mean, Elvis is in the leather jacket.
Luhrmann tugs the lapels of his own leather jacket.
And the director says, I'll tell you what, you go out there, and if you don't like it, I'll pretend the tapes were destroyed. And he makes him this kind of crazy promise. And so Elvis goes out.
In a reenactment, Elvis's leather-clad feet walk forward.
He was definitely aware of the stakes, yes.
Priscilla Presley.
And he knew that this could be a failure and that would be it. It could ruin his career. And he was very aware of that.
Welcome to NBC and the Elvis Presley Special. You can do better than that. I'm going to say it all over again. I want to really hear something. Welcome to NBC and the Elvis Presley Special.
The man at the microphone wears a white double-breasted suit. He gestures as the audience cheers.
And here's Elvis Presley.
In color archival footage, a crowd surrounds a tiny square stage. Dressed all in black leather, Elvis steps on stage. He reaches down to adjust something near his ankle. He wears his signature slicked back pompadour hairstyle. A girl in the audience holds her hand to her mouth and trembles. Elvis holds a microphone.
Well, I'm gonna have to do it sooner or later, so might as well get on with it, baby. Let's go. Better get on with it again. I missed it that time.
Elvis grins.
Elvis kind of fumbles the first entry and have to start again. And he's really, really nervous. He's sweating nerves.
He paces near the mic.
Okay, oh, my boy.
He adjusts the mic.
You're going to put me away for a while.
Author Wright Thompson.
It's just hard to remember when you see him that once he had been the king.
How long am I going to be standing here? Are we ready? It's getting embarrassing standing out here, Steve. I got to do something.
It's shocking because he's very nervous. He's so visibly insecure.
Elvis tugs on his waistband.
So overwhelmed by the size of the moment.
Okay, are you ready?
No, but we'll try it anyway.
Whoever this person was standing on this stage was a shell of the rock star who just a decade earlier terrified all of mainstream America.
Text, a Netflix documentary, a Little Room Films production, in association with Authentic Studios and Viva Las Vegas. A film by Jason Hare.
We got a 7-year contract with Paramount Pictures.
And overnight, we're all gone. It's like a dream.
Headlines and newsreels appear.
Say something to your fans. Do you have any particular message that you'd like to pass on?
On an album cover, Elvis wears a Hawaiian shirt and leg.
I became very discouraged.
A headline reads, "Not a chance for Presley." Reviewer shakes head over movie. In a montage, images of Elvis appear one after another.
Here's Elvis Presley.
A title appears, Return of the King, The Fall and Rise of Elvis Presley. Text 1954.
Just a few weeks ago, a young man from Memphis, Tennessee, recorded a song on the Sun label. He's only 19 years old. Elvis Presley, let's give him a nice hand.
Why, that's all right, Mama. That's all right with you. That's all right, Mama. Just any way you do, that's all right.
I've always liked music. My mother and dad both love to sing.
A family photo.
They tell me that when I was about 3 or 4 years old, I got away from them in church and walked up in front of the choir and started beating time.
Darlene Love.
You have to remember back in those days, music is very segregated. Most of our music that we heard was all black. And it was rhythm and blues, B.B. King, Little Richard. White people was playing Pat Boone, the McGuire sisters. And we really weren't interested in that kind of music.
America was deeply scared of black culture infecting white children.
Author Wright Thompson.
And here comes Elvis, who took the music and the moves that he saw in the juke joints of the Mississippi and Memphis of his youth, the music he grew up loving, and put that on stage.
Elvis's friend, Jerry Schilling.
This gave us our own music that was not our parents' music. It was dangerous music because it was not our society's music, especially down south. That was just taboo. Elvis mostly back then did covers for black artists.
Well, now that's all right, no mama. That's all right.
Darlene Love.
Elvis was from the deep south, so he wanted to be around black people. I asked him, how did you come about really loving black people's music? He said he would go around to black churches and just stand at the windows and listen to their music.
In archival footage, worshipers sing in church, Robbie Robertson.
He was a prime example of showing what happens when you put together music coming down from the mountains and music coming up the Mississippi River and where that meets and they explode. And that became rock and roll.
Big Joe Turner.
It's shake, rally, roll.
Nobody white was singing like that or wasn't even acting like that on stage.
Shake, rally, roll.
Elvis.
Shake,
we thought it was funny because we would say things like, oh, he's just trying to be black. But he really wasn't. That was just how he was. That was the controversy that everybody was having at that time because his fans didn't want him to be black. And I don't even think they realized that's the kind of singing he was doing. But we as black artists and black singers, we could tell the difference between Elvis and the other white singers that were coming along at that time. The world was trying to fight us not to do that, to keep separated. But music is not going to separate you. Music is going to bring you together.
She brings her hands together.
Elvis was an ambitious artist.
A childhood photo.
He was also a child who grew up in poverty, whose greatest fear was being poor again. His two greatest urges are to make the most of his talent and to never, ever be poor again. And those things would fight each other his whole life.
A marquee reads Colonel Tom's show.
Most of Elvis Presley's early music contemporaries are now merely footnotes in the history of rock and roll. That's because they didn't have the one thing that Elvis Presley had. Colonel Tom Parker, the shrewdest manager in the business.
an intense-looking balding man.
When the colonel looked at Elvis, he saw a big, shiny idol that America would worship. And when Elvis looked in the mirror, he saw B.B. King. Those two versions of the same person could never coexist, and the colonel's Elvis kill the other Elvis.
Historian John Jackson.
Elvis and the colonel started working together in 1955 when Elvis was out on the road doing tours promoting his Sun singles. And the colonel was managing Hank Snow. And basically they got on a same package tour together, and the colonel was able to see, you know, what Elvis was about and the audience reaction and how talented he really was. Almost immediately, he starts to maneuver of how he's going to take over the management of Elvis.
Colonel Parker came up as a carnival barker. He thought Elvis was merch. He thought Elvis was a widget he could sell to America.
Colonel Parker wears a fedora.
In Elvis's mind, the Colonel was some kind of genius.
Director Boz Luhrmann.
He was a kind of genius of selling. He was a genius showman. He was a genius con, really. And he had absolutely brilliant, brilliant entertainment ideas.
A heavy-set colonel wears a bow tie.
When Colonel met with Elvis and talked to him about TV exposure, about film, that's how Colonel took over. Elvis wasn't 21 yet.
I wasn't known at all until Colonel Parker started managing me, you see, and I got on television, and then I started being known.
Elvis Presley, and here he is.
Elvis's first TV appearance, January 28, 1956.
Well, get out of that kitchen and rattle those pots and pans. Get out of that kitchen and rattle those pots and pans.
Colonel is summed up in one sentence. Last year, my boy had $1 million worth of talent. This year, he has $1 million.
Bruce Springsteen.
That's Colonel Tom Parker in a nutshell.
He kind of invented the merch we know today. It was the Colonel's idea to put Elvis's face on everything. The only kind of merch that really existed up till then was sort of for Mickey Mouse. He just took it to another level.
No one can deny that this artist, whether they like it or not, has a tremendous amount of energy and talent. The name Elvis Presley is becoming a household word one way or the other.
The night Elvis appeared on the Ed Sullivan Show, I knew I was seeing something that possibly hadn't been seen before, which was a new type of human being, a 20th century man.
Elvis wears a guitar. He points to the crowd and gives a slight smile.
I was a child and I was excited by the music.
Ready, set, go, man, go. I got a gal that I love so.
It struck me deeply, even at that young age. The open sexuality of his appearance, the way he combed his hair, or the makeup he put, he wore makeup, you know, in 1956. And so the first thing I did after I saw Elvis was got my mother, we got to Mike Dale's music shop, and rented that guitar, came home and just smelled it, touched it, and felt it, made some noise on it. I couldn't play it. There were just all these things that hadn't dawned on you before that he sort of opened the door for and gave you an allowance to be who you actually are. You didn't have to follow the rules. You could break the rules. Rock and
roll. Elvis bends at the waist, then straightens and shuffles to the side. He taps his feet and bounces his knees to the music. He purses his lips and then scowls as he plays. Conan O'Brien.
I asked my mom, I said, do you remember when Elvis Presley came on? And she comes from this very good Irish Catholic family. And she said, well, I thought it was disgusting. And I was really disappointed. It's like, Mom, it's Elvis. Well, I don't like it. His leg moving like that was not an affectation. That was not a cool stage move he came up with. He couldn't help it.
Rock and roll. Elvis spins around and grins.
I guess the first thing people want to know is why I can't stand still when I'm singing.
I watch my audience and listen to them, and I know that we're all getting something out of our system, and none of us knows what it is. The important thing is that we're getting rid of it and nobody's getting hurt.
Elvis's lip curls.
By the time he's on the Ed Sullivan Show in September of 56, he's already been on national television 10 times. And
historian John Jackson.
And it's really the Milton Berle shows that provide the controversy.
My reasons on rock and roll music and why I preach against it, I know what it does to you. And I know the evil feeling that you feel when you sing it.
A headline reads Elvis Pelvis on Ed Sullivan Show.
I don't like to be called Elvis the Pelvis, but it's one of the most childish expressions I've ever heard coming from an adult. Elvis the Pelvis, but if they want to call me that, I mean, there's nothing I can do about it, so I just have to accept it.
Now the chief reason for all the criticism of Elvis Presley is that he's become a sort of a sex symbol to teenage girls. They go wild over him.
A young woman grins and claps.
His confidence, which is the fuel of all of his sexual charisma, was the thing that scared America.
You ain't no friend of mine. You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
He thrusts his pelvis in time with the beat. The same young woman cheers.
One secret of Presley's popularity with teenagers has been his lack of popularity with their parents. So if parents quit criticizing his singing, I predict Elvis Presley's star will fall as rapidly as it rose.
Elvis was very unique because he wasn't a guy that just hearing his music gave you the full picture. You had to see him.
An MC points to Elvis. The MC imitates Elvis dancing.
Hollywood was the ultimate destination at that point if you wanted to be a famous person. It had worked for Frank Sinatra and Bing Crosby and Dean Martin. So it was natural for them to look towards when is that going to happen? It wasn't sort of if it was going to happen, but when it was going to happen.
Take your hand off my arm, Mr. Fields.
The film, King Creole.
How come you're so friendly with the lady, boy?
Well, we met in Paris last year. The King of France introduced us.
In the 1958 film, Elvis sings in a nightclub.
If you're looking for trouble, you came to the right place.
Elvis was obsessed with doing serious acting. He idolized James Dean. And he really wanted to be like Dean and Brando. And in fact, Kid Creole was first offered to James Dean. And so that's where he jumped it in.
My daddy was a green-eyed rocking chair.
For my money, Elvis is simply fun to watch. There were places for him to go in films.
A headline reads, King Creole is Presley's best.
I came to Hollywood, I did 4 movies. So everything was happening in a short period of time.
Teens hold a sign reading Elvis Presley Fan Club. Elvis adorns the cover of Modern Teen magazine.
And then right when I was going good, I got drafted. And overnight, it was all gone. It was like a dream.
The scene goes black. Text, March 24th, 1958. Alongside other men, Elvis holds up his right hand.
I solemnly swear, true faith and allegiance to the United States of America.
To the United States of America.
Congratulations, you are now in the Army. You are all right.
A newsreel.
His lucrative career as rock and roll king interrupted for a while, Elvis Presley begins his military service at Fort Chaffee, Arkansas. Uncle Sam doesn't play favorites, and those celebrated sideburns, which were his trademark, are sacrificed to military uniformity.
Elvis gets a crew cut.
Elvis Presley, Private Elvis Presley of the United States Army, is due to embark for Germany today.
The press films Elvis wearing his U.S. Army uniform.
He was at the top of his career. The last thing he wanted to do was go to the Army. It was a sad thing. I remember Elvis as he's walking up on the ship with a duffel bag on his back and saying goodbye to all the fans as he's going to Germany.
Elvis walks on a ship's gangplank and waves. police hold back a surging crowd.
Even though there wasn't a war, and you think of Germany back in the 50s, that's like going to the worst place ever.
A rocket launches a bombed out building.
This is the story of the role played by the United States Army. Their job, hold back the tide of communism in Germany and in free Europe.
It's really a privilege to be in Europe. It's something that I've looked forward to for some time. I only regret that I can't do some shows and different things while I'm here. But I will be looking forward when my army hitch is over. I would like very much to come back on a regular tour of Europe.
Thank you very much, Mr. Presley, and we wish you a pleasant stay in Germany.
Thank you very much.
In uniform, Elvis stands at a microphone.
Arrivederci. Well, that's Italian.
I met Elvis in Germany.
Priscilla Presley.
My father was in the Air Force, and he was stationed over there. There was a place called the Eagles Club, and I was sitting at the Eagles Club in the afternoon. There's a jukebox back in the day. We played records. And I was writing to my friend how much I hated it there, that I missed them all very, very much. And this guy came over to me, introduced himself, and he said, are you writing to your friends? And I go, yeah, we just got here 3 weeks ago. And he said, do you like Elvis? And I said, yeah, who doesn't like Elvis? He said, would you like to meet him?
Photos of Elvis in uniform.
At home, I told my father, I said, Dad, I met somebody at the Eagles Club, and he wanted to know if I wanted to meet Elvis. Well, that didn't go well at all, because my father wasn't really a fan, neither was my mother. And only thought it was a one-time shot, never, ever thinking that I would be asked to go back. We went over that weekend on a Saturday. There was a glass on top of the piano, and as he's singing, he's really rocking it like Jerry Lee Lewis did. I'm looking at it going, oh my God, it's gonna splash all over, it's gonna fall. And just as it started to fall, he picked it up and looked over to everybody like, you know, it was a trick.
She mimes Elvis holding up the glass and looking around.
Being in the army was so not his thing, it was very foreign. And he's alone, and usually he has people around him. He has his guys around him even before he went into the army. So he was alone, really, for the first time. It sounded like to me that he needed someone to talk to. And Elvis would really pour his heart out to me. He just lost his mother.
Photos of Elvis with his mom.
It wasn't only like losing a mother. It was like losing a friend, a companion, someone to talk to. I could wake her up any hour of the night, and if I was worried or troubled about something, she'd get up and try to help me.
Adult Elvis and his mom sit in a child's bedroom.
Elvis and Gladys's relationship was very close from the very beginning. They lived in an incredibly poor area of Tupelo. She was always trying to make their life better. And also at the same time, Vernon ends up getting sent to jail for forging a check. So for a lot of the time that Elvis was a kid, it was just he and Gladys, and Gladys worked very hard to feed him, clothe him, get him into school. She was his support mechanism for the pressure, the stress, everything that was going on with the career.
A headline, Elvis's mother succumbs to illness.
I had compassion and felt horrible for him, understanding, you know, being away, especially losing a mom that he was so close to. So that's kind of how we connected.
The name Presley adorns a funerary monument.
And he was very nervous about whether or not he would still be in the business or still even sing again.
In his army uniform, Elvis holds a guitar under his arm.
He was away for quite a while, and he thought a lot of his fans would forget him. Someone else would be coming in, someone new.
Say something to your fans. Do you have any particular message that you'd like to pass on to them?
Yes, I would. I'd like to say that in spite of the fact that I'll be out of their eyes for some time, I hope that I'm not out of their minds. And I'll be looking forward to the time when I can come back and entertain again like I did.
Elvis, He was deeply sensitive and deeply insecure.
As a young boy, Elvis wears suspenders.
Like that little boy who was ashamed of what happened to his dad, who was ashamed of their poverty, who was ashamed of what happened to his mum, was always trying to mend things and make things good and always wanted to please people. I mean, he was a profound pleaser. And that made him so charismatic on stage, but also gave him an Achilles heel. And that is that you want love, mass love. But the more mass love you get, the bigger the hole gets, the more you need. When he was in the army, I think that's when it really starts to wear away at him, not having the love of the audience.
Shots fire from a tank.
Normally when an artist was big and then went to the army and was out of the sight of everybody for a couple of years, they never were able to pick their career back up. Elvis was never out of sight.
A record spins on a turntable.
The most important thing that the colonel does before Elvis goes into the army is he gets him to record a bunch of material.
Pardon me if I settle matter.
A uniformed Elvis meets a fan, a record cover for I Got Stung and One Night.
They have huge hits while Elvis is in Germany, so if you weren't really paying attention to the national news and what Elvis was actually physically doing, you would think he was still just making records.
Elvis singles sit at number 5, 4, and 1 on the Billboard Hot 100.
Before he went to Germany, he was still the rebel. Such as I am. And here he was, a foot soldier, staying up all night on patrols, getting frostbite in the snow.
Elvis hands apples to children. A typewriter sits on a desk.
Colonel wrote him letters again and again, explaining what he'd done to promote his records.
A bolded line on a typewritten sheet reads, to keep his name before his fans. Historian Ernst Jorgensen.
Telling him that he'd made a new deal, that there was a movie to come out and do, telling him, oh, I made another deal for another two movies.
In uniform, Elvis faces microphones.
I would like to say that when I get out of the Army, I'm looking forward to just picking up where I left off when I came into the service.
Text 1960.
And I take it from that, that you really enjoy what you're doing, or what you were doing before you went to service.
Oh, yes, I do. In fact, that was the hardest part of the entire military service, is being away from it.
Being away from the fans and the...
Just being away from show business altogether. That was the hardest part of all. Kept thinking about the past all the time, contemplating the future. And...
Stick because I'm stuck on you.
There was no rock musician who had an established 20, 30-year career that you could look to. That person didn't exist.
Elvis arrives home.
Everybody's idea of success was Sinatra. Sinatra had the incredible career. And those types of entertainers, you know, that was the peak.
May 12th, 1960.
Frank Sinatra, Time Act Show. Welcome home, Elvis. Go ahead.
Elvis walks on stage.
The thing that stands out to me, which is a very crafty move, is he's welcomed home in a big special by Frank Sinatra.
Elvis wears a dark suit.
Well, Elvis, that's our little welcome home gift. The 2 years you lost while you were in the Army. And looking back over it, I'm struck with the realization that maybe you didn't miss so much after all. As a matter of fact, all you seem to have lost is your sideburns.
Elvis laughs.
Now, folks, what would you say if I were going to sing another song now?
It's a very clear moment where Elvis is accepted into the club. Frank is telling the country he's a good kid. He served his country, went in the army. He's back now. But at the same time, Elvis is giving something up. Because in order to get into the club, you also have to give up. This person's dangerous. This person's a threat. My daughter might run off with this guy. That's over. It's almost like a negotiated settlement.
Sinatra and Elvis grin.
Now, Frank Sinatra, they call him the chairman of the board because he runs show business. He is perceived as the guy who can bless certain people. And look, we're together singing each other's songs.
The pair sings.
Oh, my darling, I love you.
Man, that's pretty.
And I always will.
Elvis and Sinatra begin to dance.
Elvis, some radio stations are cutting out rock and roll. What's your comment on that, and what do you think would happen to your career if rock and roll died out?
If rock and roll died completely out, well, then I would have to do something else. And a lot of music, maybe opera. Elvis, I don't know, really.
A piano's keyboard.
Elvis, when he was in the army, he was exposed to a lot of European music, and he particularly loved Mario Lanza. And Mario Lanza was an opera singer. And I think that's where this cross-fertilization happens.
Vite amare quando bello spira tanto sentimento.
Sheet music for Torna a Sorrento. Sheet music for Surrender.
When we kiss, my heart's on fire.
Elvis changed his musical style and his voice. The way he spoke changed very much. Elvis becomes really serious after the army with big vocal singing.
He can get almost into that sort of operatic range. So as soon as he's back from the army, the colonel gets him right into the studio again. They're recording stuff that is much more adult-leaning.
Artist Billy Corgan.
The thing about Elvis as an artist is he had hits in every genre. Does he sound like Elvis in every song? Yeah. How do you do that? It's not like he changed himself. He makes those genres bend to him, not the other way around.
Won't you please surrender to me?
It's the pure arc light of his talent.
Lips, your arms, your heart, dear.
On a VU meter.
Elvis comes back and he performs a benefit show. This is a Pearl Harbor charity organization.
Elvis wears Lays.
Look out, here it comes, ladies and gentlemen. It looks as if it's Elvis Presley!
USS Arizona Memorial Benefit, 1961.
Well, since my baby loved me, well, put us down at the end of a lonely street. Oh, baby.
On stage, Elvis swivels his hips.
He gets on that stage and he is just charisma personified. It was the peak of something. And you would think that this would be the relaunch. And instead, it was the end of something.
Elvis thrashes around to the drums. He raises an arm, then throws the arm down as the song ends.
He walks off that stage, and he wouldn't walk on another stage for 7 more years.
On a train, journalists surround Elvis.
You don't think rock and roll's dying, man, huh?
In 1956, when I first started out, I was hearing the same thing, that rock and roll is dead, is dying out. I'm not saying that it won't die out because it may be dead tomorrow completely. I don't know. I wish I didn't know.
Elvis kept calling me periodically out of the blue. He felt safe talking to me and expressing to me his fears, his likes, his dislikes. I didn't have any media attention, and this is when I was dating him.
In photos, young Priscilla smiles.
He would tell me about Colonel Parker, and he really depended on Colonel Parker to take care of him and get him into movies. And he was hoping for bigger opportunities to be able to be in the type of films that he wanted to be in. More serious, something good that he felt he was connected to.
After the army, Elvis did a couple of non-singing movies and nobody went.
Elvis Presley in his most dramatic role as the half-breed in Flaming Star, torn between two loves, two loyalties, and fighting to save them both. Flaming Star, dramatic dynamite.
Barbara Eden.
It was a good film, a very good film. But he didn't sing. He didn't get the girl.
and he died. So you can imagine how that went over with his fans. They hated it, you know.
And white men let her die.
And the colonel kind of used that to say, let's surround you with a lot of girls, put you in really cool clothes, you sing a lot of songs, and keep the plot light and fluffy so as many people as possible can buy a ticket. You're going to make a river of money. And they did.
A film set on the beach.
And I think that is the beginning of his corruption.
Wise men say...
Blue Hawaii, 1961.
Fools rush in.
And that's when he had that 5-year contract but that had basically musicals.
Can't help falling in love.
That's what people wanted to see him sing.
Elvis holds a ukulele.
We're heading back to Hollywood to start the picture Thursday at Paramount.
Thursday at Paramount
for Hal Wallace.
2 or 3 off this year.
We're going to be that busy.
That busy, huh?
In a color film, a Hawaiian band backs Elvis as he performs a song.
They put out Blue Hawaii. The movie's an unbelievable box office hit, but something else happens that is very beneficial to Elvis's bank account and ultimately almost lethal to his creative life, which is the soundtrack spends 20 weeks at number one. It's a huge hit. And say what you want to say about Colonel Parker, but the guy is a brilliant businessman, and he immediately realized if we put out movies where Elvis sings to young women and who aren't wearing a whole lot of clothes, and we put out a companion soundtrack, the things will promote each other. And so that was now the formula.
Okay, it's a beach party. Come on.
And they just did it over and over and over again.
On a beach, Elvis plays guitar.
And like every drug, the high is a little less every time.
Hey, everybody, gather around.
A crowd pops out of foliage.
Listen to that bongo sound.
From a business perspective, which is the only thing the Colonel is interested in, the movies are terrible, but the business of Elvis is actually as good as it's ever been.
Elvis water skis alongside a female co-star.
He became more and more plastic looking in those movies.
I'm sorry, old buddy, I can't be in both places at once.
Elvis's hair in those movies, it's a certain point, it's like a cotton candy that they spray painted black and then they varnished it. They brushed it with some yak butter. He's not real. He's not a real person anymore. The backgrounds behind him aren't real. Nothing's real.
A bronzed Elvis dives off a huge rocky cliff into a blue-green sea.
Colonel Parker's plan is working. He made more than Steve McQueen. He made more than Gregory Peck. He made more than Cary Grant. He was the highest paid movie star in America.
They were paid astronomically. But what the Colonel realized was the more money he could get out of them, the cheaper he could make the film.
In a montage of film clips, Elvis tosses a cowboy hat. He rides in a helicopter with dogs. He drives a race car and then a watercraft. He does yoga. Wearing a Middle Eastern headdress, he battles a leopard. In front of a mariachi band, he twirls a cape.
And I was doing a lot of pictures close together. And the pictures got very similar. So I'd read the first 4 or 5 pages and I knew that it was just a different name with 12 new songs in it. The songs were mediocre in most cases. They even stopped writing new music. They just sort of regurgitate old songs, throw a sort of plot line together.
He's putting together these grab bag records of songs that no one else wanted because the requirement to be on an Elvis song was that Colonel Parker got the publishing. These were all naked money grabs. They had this one record. There is Elvis posing with the RCA dog who is sitting on top of a cash register. It's insane.
Elvis dances atop a formation of drumming and clapping islanders. The words, "The End," appear.
The scripts get worse, the songs get worse, until eventually Elvis Presley is making movies in 3 weeks where there's one take of everything, and he's singing Old MacDonald Has a Farm.
Old MacDonald.
Oh, boy.
Priscilla and Jerry watch.
And on that farm he had some chicks, E-I-E-I-O. With a cluck cluck here, a cluck cluck there, loud as they
embarrassing.
Yeah.
Jerry nods. Elvis sings to a woman on the back of a chicken-filled truck.
That to me is a crime.
Yeah.
It is a crime.
Yeah.
To put him in that situation and sing that song.
Yeah.
It makes him a laughing stock, and he knew it.
Yeah.
She shakes her head.
Yeah.
He knew it.
A young Priscilla walks downstairs wearing a long white gown.
When did you permanently move into Graceland?
That was in 1963.
In archival footage, Priscilla continues to descend stairs in her white gown. She stops to pose by a photo of Elvis on the wall.
I know he'd be very angry. I saw him throw so many scripts across the room. Frustration, anger, lost a little bit on where his career was going because those were not the roles that he wanted.
Hollywood's image of me was wrong, and I knew it, and I couldn't do anything about it. I didn't know what to do. I just felt I was obligated to things that I didn't fully believe in. At a certain stage, I had no say-so in it. I didn't have final approval of the script, which means that I couldn't say this is not good for me. And so I became very discouraged. They couldn't have paid me no amount of money in the world to make me feel any satisfaction inside.
Jerry Schilling.
The first time I heard him say no was, we're here in Bel Air, and he looks at this script, and he throws it against the wall. I'm not doing another one of these. Within a few hours, there was the record company. There was William Morris. There was the studio. And there was Colonel Parker. And if you don't do these contracts, you won't do anything.
He really had no choice. Not really. He had to fulfill the contract.
Elvis's signature marks a contract.
You could even see it physically.
I cared so much until I became physically ill. I would become violently ill.
In a color photograph, a glum-looking Elvis poses with a double-necked guitar. Billy Corgan.
No matter how big Elvis got, he's still the guy that grew up in a tar shack.
A sign reading birthplace of Elvis Presley adorns a small one-story white home.
There's always somebody in your ear saying, you know what, you're not far from going back there.
In a photo, the colonel speaks to Elvis.
If Elvis cared so much about money, why did he blow it the way he did? Nobody blew money like Elvis. I mean, he was legendary. This wasn't about money.
Elvis rides a horse.
The quotient is not money versus the thing you want to get to. The quotient is you'll be abandoned. Money is just some form of testament that people care. It's the abandonment thing that they use against you.
The colonel had immense ability to tap into Elvis's insecurity and really infantilize him.
In photos, the cigar-smoking colonel stands beside Elvis.
He always felt that he owed the colonel his career. And I think it was very hard for him to say, I want to stand alone here, I'm making my own decisions.
Elvis's closest collaborator was somebody who didn't understand him. That was the tragedy of their relationship. There was nobody to tell Elvis actually how good he was, you know, in a deep enough way.
More photos of Elvis and the Colonel.
I mean, you think about having all of that talent and being that revolutionary, an artist, and to have a world that doesn't really understand you yet, that basically thinks you're kind of a clown.
In a staged photo, Elvis and the Colonel both hold cigars in their mouths.
If you look at Elvis's career through much of the 60s, you're looking at an artist who's completely isolated from anything that fed him. This is a guy who was born performing in front of people. Now he's isolated.
A sad-eyed Elvis wears an open-necked shirt and poses with a guitar.
Elvis had been dangerous enough to recognize danger when he saw it. He saw the Rolling Stones. He saw the Beatles. He knew how they were making America feel because he had made America feel that way.
1964. The Beatles step out onto a street.
Oh, yeah, I'll tell you something.
crowds go wild. A young woman holds her chin in her hands and screams. The Beatles perform, then stand before microphones.
Our psychiatrist recently said you're nothing but four Elvis Presleys.
It's not true. It's not true.
Ringo and John imitate Elvis dancing.
On every side, there is hero worship that recalls the heydays of Elvis Presley and Frank Sinatra. Say to
me. In 64, there's just this huge tidal wave. Everything changes. The hair changes. The clothes change. Overnight, the Beatles make everybody irrelevant, and then everyone has to catch up. Now let me hold your
hand. I want to hold your hand. Oh, my gosh. I was listening to the Beatles, too. You know, I was listening to Mick Jagger. I mean, he came on like Elvis did. You know, he was out jumping all over the place. I'm like, what the heck?
A photo of Mick Jagger singing.
The music was changing.
Images of the Beatles, Janis Joplin, Bob Dylan, and The Who flash by.
Yeah, you. The Beatles came to our house in Bel Air, which was a funny evening. When they did come in, they were so nervous. In fact, Elvis sat down on the couch. John Lennon and Paul McCartney just stared at him. Never said a word. Just looked at him. They were so nervous. And Elvis basically was saying, well, if you're not going to talk, you turn on the TV. They were just mesmerized by him.
The Beatles sit as a group.
I remember seeing them, and we start talking, and John said, I didn't have the courage to tell Elvis this, but would you tell him? He said, you see these sideburns? I said, yeah. He said, I almost got kicked out of high school because I wanted to look like Elvis. And we wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for him.
Schilling lifts his brows.
The Beatles were the writers of their songs at the time. And before the Beatles in general, songwriters wrote the songs, singers sang the songs. That's what took it to the next level, the fact that the Beatles wrote. And that's what gave us, the youth at that time, a voice.
Of course, the Beatles worshipped Elvis, but they weren't necessarily listening to his new records.
He was the original rebel. He was the original conduit to make rock and roll hugely popular with youth. And now he's relegated to really being a family entertainer. And I think that really hurt.
I've never written a song in my life. I wish I could. I wish I was like some of my rivals, because they're pretty good songwriters. But me, I did good to get out of high school, you know?
Suddenly, all these rock groups coming that are alluding to things that are much deeper, something that's about real life. And that flips the script completely.
There was all of the mass racial tension, and then there was the economic tension, and then there was what was going on in Vietnam, which is impossible to overstate the impact on American culture of that.
The news tonight, despite an official denial, is of a significant escalation of the war in Vietnam. For the first time, American jets have dumped tons of high explosives within the city.
Vietnam War footage.
No rock and roll performer of the 50s was trying to get to something deeper. I think a big thing to me is people start looking for meaning in music. Real meaning, something that's deeper than anything they heard from Chuck Berry, anything they heard from Elvis.
A bullet from the back of a bush took Medgar Evers' blood.
A headline reads, Medgar Evers shot in back.
A finger fired the trigger to his name.
Mourners cry in march.
A handle hit out in the dark. A hand sent the spark. Two eyes took the aim.
Martin Luther King Jr.
Behind a man's brain.
A white man wears a handcuff.
But he can't be blamed.
The handcuffed man smiles.
He's only a pawn in that game.
Bob Dylan performs.
Suddenly there's this poetry.
The South politician preaches to the poor white man.
There's poetry in music. Folk music and then rock music.
You're better than them. You've been born with white skin.
The idea of Bob Dylan reciting a type of poetry in his songs, it was like, what's that? Where does that come from? People that were writing songs really couldn't help but be a reflection of what was happening in the streets.
So it ain't him to blame. He's only a pawn in that game.
Elvis didn't see himself as a political figure. So it would have been probably weird, even from a brand point of view, especially when he's doing all these big Hollywood movies. Like, is he going to start jumping in and doing topical songs? Elvis stayed on the sidelines while the whole world was shifting towards a political overt stance with great intensity.
Elvis and other men joke around. A draft card burns.
Oh, Mr. Presley, on the subject of the service, what is your opinion of war protesters, and would you today refuse to be drafted?
Honey, I just seem to keep my own personal views about that to myself, because I'm just an entertainer, and I'd rather not say.
Do you think other entertainers should keep their views to themselves, too?
No, I can't even say that.
Cops beat back anti-war protesters.
The only songs Elvis could record at this point were songs that almost every other serious recording artist in America had passed on. The greatest voice in America was getting America's worst songs, and not only did no one stop him, no one in his camp even seemed to understand that this was a problem, except for Elvis. I mean, Elvis might be lots of things, but he's not an idiot. He can read a graph line like anybody else. This is dying. I think he thought, if this is ending, I want to end as the Elvis I want to be, not the Elvis they want me to be.
Text appears, 1967.
Well, you may run on for a long time.
Run on for a long time.
Run on for a long time. Let me tell you, God Almighty's gonna cut you. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go tell that midnight rider. Tell the gambler, the rammer, the backbiter. Tell them God Almighty's gonna cut them down.
How Great Their Art was an incredibly important milestone in his career, because it showed him that he could do what he wanted to do. And it necessarily didn't need to be the biggest commercial success in the world, but that he could be in control of his own destiny.
Great God Almighty, let me tell you what he said. Go tell that long time liar.
It's sort of the first step towards, I need to get back to who I am as a person and as an artist. So to go back to his gospel roots and sort of insist that he make that record wasn't in line with what the Colonel would have wanted him to do, which was just more pop music.
I think if Elvis, at that point in his career, wasn't able to do gospel music, I don't know what Elvis would have been doing.
Darlene Love.
So he had to stand up. This is what really I want to do.
Elvis, is your first love Western music?
No, sir, it's not. My first, I would say, would be spiritual music. I know practically every religious song that's ever been written.
When he found out that I was a gospel singer and I had gospel roots, I think that's what made me and him really gravitate to one another, because that's how he really wanted to sing.
Oh, Lord, my God.
You're born with certain feelings inside of you, and you can feel them when you go different places. Like when I go and visit different churches, I can feel that spirit that they have at that church. And Elvis wanted to feel that.
Then sings my soul.
When I saw Elvis sing How Great Thou Art, it was the first time I'd been to a recording session. I was sitting right outside the glass window. I think he was really touched, I mean, by something spiritual. Like a soul had left his body.
Then sings my soul, my soul.
At the end of that session, he went down to his knees and he looked up and he had this little, looked like a little boy, proud smile on his face. He knew he had done something great.
How great!
He won 3 Grammys, and they were all for gospel music. That tells you where his heart is.
A plaque on a Grammy Award reads, Elvis Presley, Best Sacred Performance.
If Elvis could have had a choice of the music he would sing, it would be gospel, but he wasn't going to make no money and be no superstar as a gospel singer. So he had to take the route that was going to, you know, get him very successful. Because, you know, the Colonel did not want him to sing anymore. He just wanted him to stay in movies.
The album cover for How Great Thou Art features Elvis staring straight ahead.
And that gospel album is the giveaway as to what was going on in his internal life.
I wouldn't like to stay in the same vein. I mean, I wouldn't like to be at a standstill, you know what I mean? I'd like to progress. I'd like to get married. I'd like to have a family. It's definitely true. Well, it's a normal thing to do. I mean, who wants to grow old and be alone, you know what I mean? Star above.
Elvis and Priscilla walked together.
I was in my dressing room at Graceland, and he said, Priscilla, and he knocked on my door, and he had something behind his back. To me. And then he said to me, you know, it's time. And he took a box out, and it was a wedding ring. To the three. I was in shock.
Elvis grins as Priscilla leans into his chest and covers her face.
It's more important to try to surround yourself with people who can give you a little happiness, because you only pass through this life once. You don't come back for an encore. Find that one girl, you know. It's a thing that you can't rush.
Priscilla kisses Elvis on the cheek.
I'm thinking to myself, my dad's not going to believe this.
Elvis and Priscilla show off their rings. They get married.
I got pregnant the night we got married. And I'm, like, nervous. I'm going, oh, my gosh, I don't know. Am I ready to be a mother? I was 21. I started crying one night. I haven't ever told this, but I started crying one night, and he, you know, called me Satin, and he said, Satin, what's the matter with you? What's the matter, baby, you know? I go, I'm scared.
1968, Priscilla holds a bundled up baby.
I don't know if I'm ready for a baby. And he goes, oh, you'll be a great mother. You'll be a great mom. And I go, I won't be able to do things with you anymore. And he goes, yes, you will. I go, you're not going to want babies around and kids around. We got married. We're doing things together. We're going to Vegas. And then thinking, all that's going to stop. My head is definitely different than where his was going. And he's looking at being a dad.
Elvis holds his young daughter.
Elvis was definitely excited to be a dad. He was a little nervous, that's for sure. Didn't know how to hold a child, or didn't think he did.
Elvis holds his daughter, Lisa Marie, as Priscilla points to a man dressed as Santa.
And so it turned out great.
Baby Lisa Marie waves from a swing. Priscilla holds her hands as she learns to walk.
Eventually, he makes the last movie for Paramount, Easy Come, Easy Go. It's a total flop. The record doesn't even chart and sells just 30,000 copies.
I don't think he recognizes just how dire things are until one day. There's an actual headline in one of the trades, and it says, there's no more appetite for Presley films.
A headline reads, not a chance for Presley. Reviewer shakes head over movie.
In the Colonel's mindset, when you need to get people to focus again, in 56, he put him on God knows how many TV shows. When he came back from the army and need to re-step, I put him on the Frank Sinatra show. Now he's got nothing. He says, I need to go back to my old track, get him on TV. It was all or nothing.
A script's heading reads, Elvis NBC TV special.
Years went by. I really missed the audience contact. I really was getting bugged. I was doing so many movies, and I couldn't really do what I could do. It all kept going, and I really wanted to come back.
The idea was, okay, it's time to have him come back into everyone's living room. It only became what we know of now as the 68 Comeback Special as it developed.
A show rundown lists songs and other segments.
He didn't want to be around people. He just wanted to relax, go to the beach, and just think.
A svelte Elvis walks on the beach.
He was getting in shape.
He started training. I think he must have lost 25 pounds. He was training like this is the heavyweight championship.
I don't think I've ever seen him that excited before.
A clapperboard.
Okay, here we go.
The board reads, take 512, scene gospel.
512.
Gospel segment rehearsal.
At that time, we didn't know whether Elvis was going to be there or not. Because a lot of times when you do sessions, you're just doing the band and you're doing the background singing and you're trying to get that all together with the producers. And then Elvis popped up and he was there.
Just take 501.
I used to smoke. I used to smoke, drink, and dance a hoochie coo. I used to smoke and drink. Smoke and drink and dance a hoochie coo.
He sat and talked to us. You know, that sounds so good. How you guys doing? Then he wanted to know who we were and what we were doing and what kind of music we loved.
That's why I'm saved. I'm saved.
He told us that he was nervous about doing it, period. The whole 68 special. He was very nervous because he hadn't done anything like that before.
People talk about the special now based on what they remember, which is raw rock and roll Elvis returns. The Colonel tried his very best to ruin that.
Elvis and another man perform a choreographed fight scene.
He never loved you.
A woman in sequins watches.
Because the special is full of skits and he's fighting and their silly little set pieces.
Elvis continues to rehearse the fight scene.
Ah, damn it.
Okay.
Yes, there's all this great music. There's also lots of Colonel Tom Parker crap all over it.
902. 510.
A group of brightly dressed backup dancers surround Elvis. He carries a guitar over his shoulder.
He's very nervous when he's playing music, and he's very annoyed when he's doing anything other than playing music.
Take 120.
And to see,
he serenades the woman in sequins. He turns away in disgust and mouths, "God damn it."
The conflict between Elvis and the Colonel, or the conflict between the two Elvises, however you want to frame it, is so clear in his deep pain over messing up the music.
You're walked into this, I'm sorry.
Elvis walks away as the vocal track continues.
Play it again.
I missed it.
He receives direction.
And his deep annoyance at being forced into the indignity of more skits.
502.
Where's downstage? Is that one?
Come on in. It's down. It's
right here. Can you see this blue mark there?
Elvis moves into place.
14 years, I don't know, upstage and downstage.
The woman in sequins smiles.
The premise of the special was just a dopey Colonel Parker special. The producers of the show were handed a Colonel Parker packaged thing that was just more of the public Elvis as people had known him for the last 7 years. During breaks in the action, the private Elvis would go back and do what the private Elvis always did, which was play music with his friends.
If we want to, we can do something like, yeah.
Dressing room jam session.
Producers of the show walked in and saw that, they realized that what Colonel was trying to make them do was trash, and what Elvis was doing in his actual private life was gold.
It's a bit like a blue moon of Kentucky, isn't it?
What is that blue moon?
A tape recorder sits on a table. Voice of Steve Binder, director, 68 Special.
Every day after rehearsal, he'd jam acoustically, whoever happened to be hanging out. Forget all the production, forget the original concept. This is what the public is screaming for that never, ever got to see.
Yeah, terrific.
You know, I was thinking last night about incorporating this segment with the medley somehow or another.
You've been thinking about the same thing, Elvis.
But we have to have that other excitement to be able to do this, you see. Because now you're relaxing, you've done your bit, you know. Kind of.
I go to Colonel Parker and I say, I'm bringing cameras in there. And he said, over my dead body.
Well, well, Lordy, 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 Miss Claudia. Girl, you sure.
After days of hounding him, he finally turned to me out of frustration and said, I'll make a deal with you. I'll let you recreate it on stage.
but I won't promise you any of it goes into the show that NBC broadcasts.
When you see him play these old standards and blues songs and gospel songs and the songs Elvis loved to listen to, when you saw him playing those on stage, that was literally them recreating what was happening organically in his dressing room when the cameras were off. And what you remember is the growling, stalking Elvis returning to the stage to say, yeah, 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 Keith Richards and Mick Jagger, but I'm Elvis fucking Presley.
NBC's colorful peacock logo appears.
The following program is brought to you in living color on NBC.
Singer presents Elvis, starring Elvis Presley in his first TV special, his first personal performance on TV in nearly 10 years.
In a reenactment, Elvis's leather-clad knee bounces.
He told us that he was very nervous. If the people were going to like him, we didn't know whether Elvis was going to come out of his dressing room at all.
Welcome to NBC.
Well, obviously, I work in this completely different realm. But I will tell you that if you're not afraid, you're in trouble. If you want it to be good, you're petrified. It's a very lonely feeling. The fear of failure is such a great motivator. The fear of embarrassment. We all know what it's like to be in front of people and it doesn't go well. And it's terrible.
On a recreated dressing table, a small clock rests behind an ashtray.
People are here, young people. I don't even know if they like my music. They probably like the Beatles. They like Janis Joplin or Jimi Hendrix. No one's gonna care about me, but there's something about being up against it that enables you to do it.
In the reenactment, Elvis's black leather-clad legs walk slowly forward along a spotlit floor.
I call it anticipatory anxiety. I can remember the beginning of the Born in the USA tour. We were in St. Paul, and I sat backstage, and it was 10 minutes before we went on, and I hear the crowd roaring like crazy. And I'm going, oh, man, what have I got myself into? You are going on to a stage that you are unfamiliar with. You are being produced and directed by people you don't really know. At some point, you just reach the fuck it point. Like, I gotta go out there. No matter what happens, fuck it. He reached the fuck it point. That's what's going through his head. He found it. And he was going. He was going where his destiny was leading him.
A man adjusts the take number on a clapperboard. Robbie Robertson.
I was living in Woodstock, New York. It's the other guys in the band. We were all there, and Bob Dylan. And when we heard about this special coming on TV of Elvis's, Bob and I said, let's check it out. Let's see if the old boy still got it.
If you're looking for trouble, you came to the right place.
Original broadcast, opening act.
Looking for trouble, just look right in my face.
In close-up, Elvis stares directly into the camera and sings.
And talking back. My daddy was a green-eyed mountain jack because I'm evil.
The camera pulls back.
My middle name is Misery. You mess around with me.
Behind Elvis, backlighting reveals a four-level scaffolded set. On the set, more than 50 people appear in silhouette and strike poses with guitars.
I had a little tiny dining room with a big TV, and my father was in the kitchen, but he could see the television from his spot on the kitchen table, and I sat in front of the TV. That was the rebirthing of Elvis Presley.
Well, I nearly bounced on the death down in Memphis. I run out of money and luck.
I was sitting at the top because I wanted to see everything. He came on stage, He was like, wow.
I got the same old story from all night fears. You know, there ain't no room around here for a guitar man.
I never saw him perform. That was the first time I saw him perform, and I went, whoa, this is what it's about.
I showed him what a band would sound like. Oh, this way you look, you tall man. Show him, son.
I don't think I understood how good he was from just seeing him once or twice. It was a reintroduction not just to who he had been, but to who he could be.
As the camera pulls back, Elvis gets smaller and smaller. Red lights spelling out Elvis in gigantic letters surround him.
It gave Elvis an edge. He still had it.
Jerry Schilling grins.
It was developed, it was stronger. Elvis took Elvis to the next level.
A tiny, distant Elvis plays the guitar as the giant red letters spelling out Elvis surround him. Then, darkness surrounds a spotlit microphone. The studio audience applauds.
One of the things that strikes me right away is it's the best he's looked in a long time. He comes out, and he's the best-looking guy on the planet.
Elvis takes a seat on a small stage encircled by the audience.
He comes out, and he's wearing that leather suit, and he's got those cheekbones that are off a Greek statue.
Well, good night.
He begins to stand, then sits back down.
It's been a long show. It's been a long show.
For many years now, he hasn't been in front of people performing music. There's been all these layers of separation.
See what I do now, folks.
All the insecurities that he would have, he's holding himself up for possible ridicule.
This is supposed to be like an informal section of the show where we faint or do whatever we want to do, especially me.
Yes, the guy in the crazy outfits and the hip shaking and the big hair is very shy, very sensitive person.
We don't have our full band here tonight, but we'd like to give you an idea of how I started out about 14 years ago, and the sound that we had back then. And the guy over here on my left is the guy that played guitar for me when I first started out in 1912.
The show isn't just Elvis's return. I mean, the show is Elvis literally getting the band back together.
This is Scotty Moore, a guitar player.
That's his band when he was still a country singer. That's the band when he was on the Louisiana Hayride. That's the band when he was playing in the Opry.
This is my drummer. He's from Shreveport, Louisiana.
Elvis points.
I met him about 10 years ago. DJ Fontana.
Fontana acknowledges the applause.
You are watching musicians who love each other, who fell away from each other, who have come back to each other to capture the magic one more time.
The first thing that we recorded, we had a guitar, a bass, and another guitar. And it went like this.
Text, that's all right.
Well, that's all right, mama. That's all right with you. That's all right.
Sitting in those chairs with his guys, and there's an audience right there, and they're surrounding him, and he's in an intimate environment. You can see the way he can connect with people.
I'm leaving town, baby. I'm leaving town, sure.
Elvis scrunches up his face and nods to the beat.
He looked incredible. He sounded incredible. I felt like, oh, my team. They came back and they're winning again. You know.
Here we go, baby. Ha da da dee 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 dee.
As a seated Elvis strums hard, his whole body moves in time with the music.
Just a revelation, you know, that's just a musical revelation. You saw the incredible, the high level of his artistry, the singing, unbelievable, and You saw him really play the guitar and heard him play the guitar for the first time. He was a really good guitarist.
Are we on television? Are we on television?
No, we're on a train bound for television.
Baby, what do you want me to do?
The moment for me in the 68 comeback special is Elvis does Baby, What You Want Me to Do. It's kind of a warm-up song, like a blues warm-up. He's got that badass guitar, and you can tell that this is what he was born to do. Everything that got him there is now coming back, and everything that's interfered with that has melted away. All of it. And it must be a very powerful moment for him. He's coming back to life.
Elvis smiles as he plays.
And I think probably realizing, I'm Elvis fucking Presley.
You got me doing what you want. Baby, what do you want me to do? There's something wrong with my lip, man.
He touches the corner of his upper lip.
Now, wait a minute. There's something wrong with my lip.
Elvis laughs.
Well, you remember that, don't you? You know?
He does his signature lip curl, then looks down and smiles. Elvis grins, then curls his lip again.
I got news for you, baby. I did 29 pictures like that. Yeah, that's all I can move in Florida.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, the police filmed a show one time in Florida because the PTA, the YMCA, or somebody, they thought I was...
He shakes his head.
Something. And they said, man, he's got to be crazy. So the police came out and they filmed the show. So I couldn't move. I had to stand still. The only thing I move was my little finger like that.
His pinky.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
He wags his finger to the song.
You know, for the whole show.
It's the most real thing anyone had ever seen Elvis Presley do. It might be the first time that anyone had ever actually seen the actual human being, Elvis Aaron Presley, child of Tupelo in Memphis.
So I told him, I said, well, look, man, you can do anything you want to do. You know what you want to do, baby. I said, well, it's one for the money, one for the show. Here it now, go, can't go, but don't step on my blue suede shoes.
Blue suede shoes.
Well, you can do anything, but they hold my blue suede shoes.
Get it on.
Knock me down, step on my face, slander my name all over the place. I do anything.
Previously slick back hair now hangs over Elvis's sweaty forehead.
Oh my God. It's like, it was like a tiger. He was showing off and doing his thing and sexy, and it was like reincarnation.
Elvis stands as he plays. His legs bend, jerk, and twist to the music.
I'm married to him? Wow, where have I been?
Priscilla pushes her hair back.
Oh my goodness, he was gorgeous. His hair was so shiny and the lights hit it. He was like glowing, like I don't know what God looks like, but you would say this guy was godlike.
Audience member Sandy Tompkins.
It was electric in there. It was breathtaking.
Elvis removes his guitar strap.
I remember a couple of girls, they were going nuts over him. And they said, oh my God, I never knew he had this much charisma. I never knew that he was so sexy.
How do you like it so far?
He paces with a microphone and smiles.
I could hear these comments, and, you know, I go, wow. Wow, this is, they're just discovering him. This is what we were experiencing when he first appeared.
He straps on a red guitar.
He would sing a song like, here's another one of my hits. Here's another one of my hits. That was all fine. But at some point in the special, he sings Trying to Get to You.
Trying to Get to You.
It was a B-side of one of his records years earlier. And he sang this thing to the sky. It was magnificent.
I've been traveling over mountains, even through the valleys too. I've been traveling night and day. I've been running all the way, maybe trying to get to you. Ever since I met your land,
it was phenomenal. Because he was so free. All these years being tucked away by the Colonel doing all these movies.
But it didn't mean a thing.
But when they let him loose on that stage, you could figure. Now we were, wow, man, you got it going on in that black leather suit. Carry on, brother.
My way was dark at night. It would shine as bright as light. When I was trying to get to you.
And that audience loves it. And he's getting that thing.
He interlaces his fingers.
That he loves, that was the reason for all of it.
Conan opens his palms.
It wasn't the money. Money's nice. It was because that lights him up. It's lit him up since he was a kid.
Jailhouse Rock.
Old Elvis, right? They're obviously having a bit of a nostalgia moment.
So he's both being old Elvis and new Elvis at the same time. You see old Elvis, 68 Elvis, and the Elvis to come.
Inches from the crowd, Elvis crouches down on the floor and leans back, with one knee bent and the other leg stretched out.
He was in search of a way to live where he could live with himself. The 68 special for me is him finding that place. When people discuss Elvis or the disappointment in the arc of his career, they say he didn't go where his destiny was leading him enough. That night, he went where his destiny was leading him. And he met it, and he met it.
His hips swivel. Light glints off of Elvis's black leather suit as he saunters around the stage. From far above, he moves around a tiny square white stage with a red rim, surrounded on all sides by a colorful clapping crowd.
68 special is just a master at work. But that's Elvis every day.
Elvis mops his face with a hanky from the crowd.
Nobody had the foresight to get more of Elvis every day. If they had any brains or prescience about them, they would have done 50 more of those because we'd be talking about those too. That's Elvis every fucking day. He's not just having a good day. That's that motherfucker every goddamn day.
Billy Corgan stabs his finger against the table. In archival footage, Elvis laughs in the back of a car.
We sit here and judge how he handled normal life, the pressures of marriage, fatherhood, celebrity, Colonel Tom Parker's bullshit. But in the midst of this is like lightning strikes. And all we're left to do is sort through the pieces and go, God, I wish there was more. Why isn't there more?
All great show business stories have to have more than one act. The real great ones have three acts. This special gives him a third act. Now, we all know where that ends. But at the beginning, it was pretty great.
Stills from the special appear.
The thing I wish for Elvis Presley, it's a weird thing to wish, but I do wish that people would have some empathy for him.
Photos of Elvis as a boy and a young man.
We turn celebrities into objects. This was a person who was terrified, but putting it all out there. I'm joyous when I see that special because it's him standing up for himself.
Text, original broadcast closing act. Wearing a white suit, Elvis stands in the foreground with a mic. In the background, red lights spell out his name. If I Can Dream. The camera moves in closer.
There must be lights burning brighter somewhere. Got to be burning.
Elvis exists for most people as a tragic figure. We all know how it ends.
If I can dream of a better land where all my brothers walk hand in hand, tell me why, oh why.
When I watched the 68 special, I like to imagine that that was it. He walked off that stage and was happy.
There must be peace and understanding sometime.
Because what you see that night is the one time Elvis Presley decided to be who he wanted to be, for himself.
If I can dream of a warmer sun where hope keeps shining on everyone, tell me why, oh why won't that sun
It's the closest he ever came to realizing the dreams that put him in front of a microphone in the first place.
We're lost in a cloud with too much rain. We're trapped in a world that's troubled with pain. But as long as a man has the strength,
is remembered today as one of the quintessential American talents.
Deep in my heart, there's a trembling.
And it is because there were moments when people saw. And the greatest of those moments was that night on that stage in Los Angeles.
Out there in the dark.
Up in the air. He drops his arms.
Thank you. Good night.
With his arms by his sides, he breathes heavily. Behind him, red lights spell out Elvis.
I've been traveling over miles.
Text appears. The 68 Comeback Special aired on December 3rd, 1968. It was NBC's highest-rated show of the year. 42% of the American television audience watched. Elvis dedicated himself to live performances after 1968. He played 361 more concerts before his death in 1977. He was 42 years old.
Running all the way, baby, trying to get to you.
Audio description provided by International Digital Center. Written by Olivia Good. Voiced by Lucy Siegel. Credits. Produced and directed by Jason Hare. Produced by Thomas Odelfelt, Matthew Chase. Producers Priscilla Presley, John Eddy. Producers Nicholas Eisenberg, Jerry Schilling. Executive producers for ABG, Colin Smeaton, Corey Salter, Mark Rosen. Associate producer Rebecca Kuo. Edited by Ross Hockrow. Director of photography Thomas McCallum. Original music composed by Thomas Caffey. Consulting producers Wright Thompson, John Jackson. Line producer Christina DeLige. Graphics by Grins Design. Creative director Henry Greitzinger. Art director Max Strebel. Designer Eric Day. Credits continue.
It was he who brought me through. When my way was dark at night, he would shine as bright as light. When I was trying to get to you.
Copyright 2024 Netflix, all rights reserved. Logo, Viva Las Vegas.